This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Lovers, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. You know, we don't think about this too much. I think some of us, and some of us think about this way too much. And some of us think about this and change their minds a lot. What is this? Your cat's name, right? I have some funny stories about my cat's name. There's always stories about cats' names. But my guest today wrote a book. It's called The Complete Book of Cat Names That Your Cat Won't Answer To Anyway, which is the best title ever and so true. I can't wait to introduce him and bring him on to the show. We'll be right back after this break.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Bob Eckstein. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He's an illustrator, cartoonist, and just came out with the book, The Complete Book of Cat Names That Your Cat Won't Answer To Anyway. Yes, which is so true. Welcome, Bob.
How you doing, Michelle?
I'm great. You know, we've had so many different topics on Catitude, but I don't think we've talked a lot about cat names, which... I just don't know why. So let's start with the question that's always first on my mind. Why did you write this book?
Well, I just wanted to make people laugh. I wanted people just to have an okay time through this pandemic. And what was going on was with me, I was writing a lot of humor throughout that time and sharing it with friends. And I happened to know some of the funniest people in the world. And they were telling me how the stuff that I was sending them about cats was hysterical. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you know, everyone thinks their friends are the funniest people in the world. These were literally the funniest people in the world. My friends include people from Monty Python and Saturday Night Live and some very famous comedians. So I got a lot of legitimate feedback that I was onto something, that I was creating this work that was very, very funny. And so I decided I wanted to share it with the public. I had collected a large amount of cat cartoons that I had done over the years. And these cartoons appeared in different places like The New Yorker and Reader's Digest and other places, and including Mad Magazine and National Lampoon. So I just thought it would be a great way of sharing all my cat humor together. And at the same time, I thought it would be fun to have a name book. An ex-girlfriend of mine has been publishing baby name books, and I always thought it'd be really funny to have one for cats. You know, if you're a doctor, what type of cat name could you use? If you're from Hollywood, maybe your cat should be named, you know, James Spaded, just different things. And I just decided this is it. And sure enough, when the book came together and we sent it out, people have been really enjoying it. So it's been really good.
Well, you cover a vast amount of cat names. Like, it's for just about every type of, I guess, lifestyle or personality or like, or just any realm of cat names that you could think of, you hit it. And, you know, whether your cat from the different states, from the different, you know, like based on profession or this, you hit it there. you even organized it historically about the first cat names, because you started out with the first cat names in, you know, I think in Egypt, right? Way back.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And so there's some history in there too.
Oh, yeah. You can learn from this book.
So how did you go about organizing the book? Because there's some great information in there. Very funny.
Well, I'm going to just share a little bit about myself here. And I love to throw myself into a subject and be sort of like a gentleman scholar on something. This goes back to my first book when I did a book called The History of the Snowman. And I just dove into this topic that no one's really researched before and try to learn everything I could to find out who made the first snowman. And to do that, I traveled around the world for about 7 years, all over the place, collecting information from leading historians and professors in cultural history to piece together the puzzle of who did make the first snowman and whatnot. And that's actually being made into a movie now. So this is sort of my MO, is to embrace something and to really just learn everything about it.
So congrats on that. And that's so exciting. And I guess we have to wait for the movie to come out to find out who did make the first snowman.
Well, no, you don't have to wait that long. You could actually find the book. The Illustrated History of the Snowman is a pretty popular book. It's a holiday classic, and there's a lot of great stories that you'll find that, you know, include stories of sex and violence in this troubled past that people would never imagine that dates back to the Middle Ages. But then my next subject I embraced totally was bookstores. And I spent years just doing research about bookstores and traveling to bookstores and learning about the challenges that bookstore owners have. And I became very sympathetic to their plight as well. I started learning a lot about that community. And then, and finally, recently, the last subject I did, and there's other subjects in between I won't bore you with, but I took on cats. And I've been learning everything I could about cats. And I've been actually writing stories from many different places in the meantime, aside from the book. I have a large piece coming out in the New York Times coming out soon. I have another piece with Reader's Digest. I have pieces coming out in, well, all sorts of magazines, including light pieces in Funny Times. There was a piece in Lit Hub magazine that just came out. And all these different places where I get a chance to talk about cats in all different ways. It could be just fun stuff. It could be historical stuff, where names actually originated from, the meanings of the names, which I include in the book. The most recent piece I have published is 6 Ways to Put the Spark Back in Your Relationship with Your Cat, which is sort of a funny piece, but at the same time, it's actually quite helpful.
Okay, so we're going to take a little sidestep here. What are some of the ways to get some energy going back in your relationship with your cat?
Well,
just give us a couple so we can look for the article. But
I mean, I'm happy to share these because these are very helpful. People are going to want to do these suggestions right off the bat. They include trying role reversal. Role reversal is a great way to finding out more about what your cat's needs are.
I did not expect that. Okay.
Okay. You have, let's see how you like it to have a teaser toy in front of you 24/7, you know, dangled in front of you. You know, once you had that experience, you're going to look at your cat's needs a little bit differently. That's a great way of starting to understand your cat better. Another way is to keep the mystery alive between you two. I know a lot of times cats can disappear for a few days. Even my wife does that without so much as a note. You don't know what's going on. It's sort of a one-way street. What you could do is you could try doing the same yourself. Try some hiding places yourself. Start adding some mystery to the relationship.
So maybe look at your cat and go, all right, if I come near, you're going to claw me. So I'm just going to stay away and ignore you like you ignore me. And, you know, cat life.
A little bit. A little bit. Another thing to do is to go on a vacation together and not burden your cat with the burden of being a support cat. Let the cat go on vacation a little bit. That's another way of putting the spark back in the relationship.
Great idea.
Michelle, I listened to your podcast, and I think maybe my answers are the most unusual answers that you've received from a guest.
Pretty unusual. Not the most. I've gotten some crazy ones because I also have
a request
for pets, which is products. So I've gotten some crazy ones. But
I know. I remember the episode with the artwork with the deceased cat, which is both sad and also
that is the coolest thing ever. It doesn't use the ashes on the art.
Right.
From that. And I actually loved it so much that I had that show for both Best Bets for Pets and Catitude, because it is so amazing. And I actually did it for my dog because he had passed I did it for my girl dog who passed many years ago because ashes don't expire, right? But yeah. How cool is that to do for your cats too? But that's taken away from your show. So let's go back to the names. You know, yes. There's so many crazy, I don't want to say crazy in a bad way, crazy good, crazy different, unique things about cats. And whether it's guests with, you know, different takes or books or different perspectives. And we try to do some educational stuff on here. You know, I'm super big on TNR and adopting and spay and neuter, but also fun. We have to have fun there. You know, it's cats. We live in a changing, crazy world these days. I mean, we're taping this post-pandemic, but who knows? We're December 2022. We could have a normal kind of holiday time this year, but who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Can afford it because inflation is like gone up like, what, 20%? I mean, it's crazy. So you need humor. You need humor. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about cats' names. You don't realize how much is involved in a cat's name if you really think about it. And I'm going to tell you the section I thought was so funny. Cats named only for no other reason than you're on legalized marijuana. That said, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Bob Eckstein, and we're talking about his book, The Complete Book of Cat Names That Your Cat Won't Answer To Anyway. Okay, I have this question for you, because I perused your book, and probably I missed this part. What about several cats? What about keeping the same letter, like the Kardashians? All your cats have names that begin with a K. What do you think about that idea?
I think it's fine, but you could be more creative. You could do Simon and Garfunkel. You could do anything. And then just decide on, first you have to find out how many cats you decide to stop at. And then base it on that.
Wait, Bob, you don't really get to choose if they come along. And as long as allergies can handle it, you take the cat in. I thought one was enough. Here I have five.
What happens then is, you know, you have to account for that a little bit. I mean, if you had just four, you could have Paul, John, Ringo, and George. You know, you could do things like that.
I could have the Beatles, but they're an all name for people. My partner, he named all of the cats, except I named Sammy because we didn't know if it was male or female. Because how do you can only tell by their poop hole. It's a weird way to tell. It's another show, but it's hard to tell if it's the cat's male or female, except if, you know, most ginger cats are male, but it's really hard to tell. And we didn't know for sure until she got pregnant. So then we knew.
Then you knew. But you could also have, there's a lot of names down the middle of the road, though. You could just have names that, you know, go either way as well.
Right. My cats all have people names, and that's because my partner, he thought they look like this. So it's funny because Molly's like his mistress. And I told him, did you know Molly meant bitter in Hebrew, which I got from your book, Bob, or a diva? And he goes, she's not bitter. I go, oh, yeah, she is. She's very diva, princess-like. So fits her.
There you go. If your cat's name is Bruce Jenner, and then you find out later it's a female, change it to Caitlin.
Exactly.
It's all about flexibility.
We had one change, and I think you can change your cat's name, the same as you could change even if you have another pet, as long as they haven't had the same name for a while. Or if you adopt your pet and you don't like the name, you could change it. I've done it. My second dog was called Binky. That's what they call a pacifier.
That's good.
That's terrible. I named him Zeus. He went from Binky to Zeus. So come on, that's pretty good.
I contend that, you know, when you're making a choice like that off the cuff, you are setting the tone for the rest of that cat's life. Yeah, so it is a responsibility. You're making fun of it, but we have to be careful.
I know. Because Zeus had his own history thing. But the one that I did change off the cuff, Dennis was supposed to be called Lex after Lex Luthor and Superman.
Okay.
But he's very mischievous. He's kind of like a dog cat. He's part Maine Coon. And so we ended up calling him Dennis the Menace, you know, from after that really, really old cartoon where that little boy gets in trouble all the time because he just does stuff. He would open the dog food and have a snack fest with his claw, a big bag, you know. He would open cabinets and take out chips and have a party. I kid you not. It was amazing what he would get into.
It sounds like the cat's name should be Chef.
Chef? Well, he opened dog food. I mean, maybe the next one.
Just saying.
He's been Dennis now for like 14 years.
Well, we're not going to change the cat's name. But that's why it's important when you first pick the cat name, it could change a whole cat's life because the cats that go viral on social media, it all begins with having that perfect name.
I think they change some of them sometimes.
Yeah, you can make a cat a star.
Yeah.
That's what I kept on thinking about was like how I can help different people, different pet owners become celebrities with the right choice of cat name. And then, of course, I want to emphasize that the book has advice and stuff. It's not just cat names. It's the whole gambit. The whole book is silly from start to finish.
So even if you're a dog person, I don't know why you're listening to Catitude unless you love cats from afar because you have allergies, so you can still, you know, use this, right? The cat names for a dog too. Okay, here's a hard question. If you had to pick the single best name for a cat, what would you pick?
That's the single most hardest question you thought in our life. Believe me, this is that. I welcome that. That's all great. The best name for a cat is, I'm just going to go by the cat that I had. The first cat that I had when I was single was named Truffles. And I'll say that because I'm using the same name. The cat's not with us anymore. It's a long time ago. But Truffles will be the pen name for my next book that I'm doing. So I'm going to go with Truffles because it's a cookbook. It's a slow cooker cookbook for cats for the holidays. This is important. They have holiday recipes for cats. And so for today, I'm going to pick Truffles.
Truffles. Okay. What is the worst cat name?
Oh boy, there's a lot. I have a whole section here of cats that are the worst names. So I'm going to try to see if I could pick one. We have, oh boy, I'm trying to clean up my act right now. There's a few names that are probably not good to say on the air, but there is do you want a porn name for cats?
The producer.
Yeah, Kitty Kitty Bang Bang is a porn name for a cat. That's one suggestion. Let me see if I can get.
I think anything too long. Like, I don't know.
Nothing too long.
Mr. Super Duper Sweeper Fuzzy Luzzy whatever cat. I mean,
right.
Too long. You can't just say, hey, come here. It needs at the max three syllables, right?
Well, we could go with the predictable ones. We can go with Mr. Hairball. There's the Money Pit, the Stink Bomb, Tuna
Mets
Breath.
Babe.
These are all names. These are ones I don't recommend. There's Cat Lady Gaga, which I don't approve of. These are all names not to name your cat. Claritin. I don't know if people want to name their cat Claritin. That's not going to help your love life.
No. And after anything gross, like poop or something.
Right. I hope I didn't say this too fast for people writing those down.
The one I think is, come on, have some imagination. Cat. Some people do name their names Cat, their cat's Cat.
Well, those are people who haven't purchased my book yet. They're people who are, that's a cry for help.
Right, they need to buy your book.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about, before we get to the relationship section, which I thought was hilarious, how would you go about changing your cat's name? What do you
buy? You have to have an intervention. You have to sit down with your cat and have that very, very heart-to-heart talk. You know, the cat's name is not working for whatever reasons. You have to identify the problem and then realize that the only solution is starting from scratch no pun intended, and find yourself a name that suits the cat. Cat's going to be involved in the name. Every cat is saying what it wants to be called. The clues are there. You just have to listen. The cat is giving you all the hints in the world to what it wants to be named. Or you might have to read the cat the book and see how the cat's reactions are. I know of some owners who read this book to the cat to find out what triggered a reaction.
Did you ever name a cat after the cat's shape?
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't want to body shame, but it would be not so much the shape, but the color of the cat, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have a lot of sections on black cats, you know, cats that are white and cats that are both black and white, whatever. So it is that. I don't think we didn't want to get too much of body shaming. I know that one cat.
Right. It is body shaming.
Three-legged cat, and the cat's name was Tripod.
Okay, that's cute, though, because it doesn't sound like a negative, even though it's not shaming. It's kind of to me, it's not demeaning to me.
I'm going to turn some heads. The cat's going to get some nice love from that.
No, the reason I ask is one of my cats looks like an armadillo, but I don't call her aunt. So
no.
Her name is Charlotte. I don't know why. Significant other, he thought she looked like a Charlotte. I go, do Charlottes look like armadillos? Seriously, she has a round body and this long tail. Just looks like an armadillo. And she always rushes around. You'd think she'd be skinny.
I think the cat is the shape of a large mouse. Maybe Mussolini? I'm trying to help you here.
Okay, let's talk about your relationship quiz. How does that relate to the cat's name?
Well, everything is just about having fun. So it wasn't per se the way of naming a cat as much as just learning your cat better. And like I said, I've been doing nothing but cat research for 2 years. And I really feel like now I am become a cat expert of sorts. And I thought, okay, it's time to have a relationship quiz, just like they have all these couple quizzes in Huffington Post and these other places. And I thought it'd just be fun. I don't know if people have gone into couples therapy with their cat, but I'm not going to pass any judgments. That's okay. And I'm trying to think of other ways of improving the relationship with your cat. I know that you could blame the dog. I find that teaming up against a dog sometimes works.
Right, because dogs are just, they're cool with anything. They're not going to get the claws out.
I love dogs, but dogs are not that bright. Exactly.
I think they're bright, but cats and dogs are so different. And I think cats, they get the misunderstandings because people think of them as little dogs. They are so not. They are their own being. They're so different. They have to protect themselves differently. They are not as domesticated as dogs, just innately. They're them.
Right.
So even though I think Molly has attitude and is a diva, and I've been scratched by her more times than I should have been, even watching her signals and even, you know, give her a treat, wah, scratch, need to give me more. So, you know, but
yeah,
that's who she is. And maybe I gave her the wrong, well, I didn't give her the name, but maybe with the name was, you know, part of a premonition of who she, her personality would be, because Molly's bitter, a drug, but it's still a sweet name.
No, it's a great name.
Okay, let's talk about your illustrations. You did all the illustrations, right?
I did, and that's my forte. I'm an expert at cartoons. That's something else I got into for a few years, producing a few books that are very beloved cartoon books. And I was a cartoonist at the New Yorker and Mad Magazine and other places. And I love doing cat cartoons. And I think I've done more than anyone else I could think of. So I had this really wonderful collection to choose from. And the book is filled with a lot of drawings with cats. It has over 50 cat cartoons and then a whole bunch of other miscellaneous drawings.
Well, the cartoons and the illustrations are great. Were you one of these that you just picked up a pencil as a kid and started drawing away and that's how
it happened? No. I'd like to share quickly the story with that is I've always been a humor writer. And I've always just wanted to make people laugh in some form or another. But it wasn't until much later than I was at a New Yorker lunch and I was invited for my birthday. My friend is one of the most well-known New Yorker cartoonists, Sam Gross. And he invited me so I could meet all these wonderful artists. And at that lunch, I had a very nice time. I enjoyed the food and everything. And I asked if I could come back. And he said, you could come back if you try to be a cartoonist. He goes, I'll help you get introduced to the cartoon editor if you come back with 10 sketches. But I did that, And to my shock, the New Yorker purchased the first cartoon that I showed them. And then from there, I became a cartoonist. But that was much later in my career. Before that, I was a writer and I was an illustrator for different magazines, but never a cartoonist. Once I got into the New Yorker, I started to learn as much as I could on the subject. And right now, I teach cartooning and I speak about it. I just spoke this year at the first annual humor convention, and I do talks all the time. I travel nonstop to different schools to talk about cartoons. And cat cartoons is one of the big topics I do. And I even combined the very popular common tropes that you see in cartoons with cats. I have one cartoon that includes a cat on a desert island, which is something I've never seen before. I don't know why it hasn't been done before, but that's what I did. And I love doing gag cartoons, and I love trying to make people laugh that way. And so this book is kind of a gift to me, to cat lovers. For anyone who loves cats and owns a cat, hopefully they see themselves in some of these drawings and some of the things I said, and I gave them a hearty laugh.
Well, I think your message came across clearly. It's a great book. It's very funny. There's great illustrations, great cartoons, and a plethora of cat names that you would never have thought of. And I love the meanings of the cat names as well. Bob, this is a great book. Where can people buy it?
Well, it's anywhere where books are found. I'm in all the different bookstores, and I encourage people to support their independent bookstore if they happen to live near one. Michelle, I think that by you, the nearest bookstore, is it Books and Books? Do you have a Books and Books near you in Florida?
I don't even know.
I think that would be like the main store.
I get mine digitally most of
the time. Okay. My book is available online anywhere. You just look up the title of The Complete Book of Cat Names that your cat won't listen to anyway. And my book is available everywhere, including libraries. And it's in all different forms. You can get it as a hardcover book or a digital, although I encourage people to get the hard copy because it makes a really nice gift. It's a really nice looking book. And we priced it so everyone could afford it at just $15 because we really wanted people to enjoy it.
And it's a great resource books I buy. So anything that has something that I could refer back to, those I buy. The novels are where I go digital, you know, but anything that's a good resource like this book where I can go back. And this is a great book for any cat lover at all, even if they don't have a cat yet. They'll be prepared at least with a name. So, right? So, Bob, where can people also find out more about you?
Well, there's two things I do that are really, I encourage people to seek me out. One is my website, where you can sign up for my free newsletter. And I do a monthly newsletter that has cartoons and jokes in it, as well as instruction on how to be funny, write funny stuff. It's instruction for writers, because I'm also a contributing editor at Writer's Digest, and I'm an adjunct professor at NYU. And so I'm trying to reach as many people as I can to teach them how to be a better writer or artist or cartoonist. And if you go to my website, you'll be able to sign up. You just need to go to, I'm going to spell my name, BobEckstein.com. And that's my website, and you can find all the information there. And also, I have a podcast called The Cartoon Pad, and that's kind of a silly show that I've been having fun with. And I'm kind of like a kind of silly host, but the rest of the show is really well produced. It has a producer, it has a band, and we have pretty famous guests come on. And it's a pretty popular show, and we get a lot of fan mail. So if you're into cartoons and you like to just laugh, go check out The Cartoon Pad.
Bob, I appreciate you so much for coming on Catitude and sharing this great information, not only about yourself, but about the complete book of cat names that all of us cat lovers know. Your cat is not going to bother with coming to you anyway when you call them. So great book. And I look forward to laughing and finding out more about you and laughing because, you know, we need more laughter. You can never have enough laughter, right?
Things could get worse, but they can get funnier too.
Well, things can always get worse, but you know, to be able to laugh about it and take the lighter road. Why? What is that saying? Laughter is the best medicine?
Yeah. And the saying should be is things can't get worse, but they can get funnier. And I do take humor seriously. I do hope that people find a way in their life to add humor to it, because we all could use it.
Definitely, especially now. Again, thank you so much for coming on Catitude.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. I mean, how appropriate is it, right? What do you name your cat? And it's so funny, and we all need to laugh, right? Especially, you know, when you come home and your lovely cat has scratched your couch instead of the scratcher. And I'm dedicating this show to the one cat that's name has been changed and he fits it so well. And that is Mr. Dennis. He was Lex, which is from Superman. He was not a Lex. He was a Dennis. Definitely Dennis, like Dennis the Menace, which is an ancient cartoon or ancient show about a little boy that was a menace and his name was Dennis. So that's where Dennis got his name. I'd like to thank my guest, Bob Eckstein, for coming on and sharing everything about his book and all of this humor and all of the great things that can be found in the complete book of cat names. Thanks to everyone listening to Catitude. I appreciate it so much. Huge, huge thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, for making me and my guests sound amazing. Now remember, lose the attitude. Have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.